This is iUniverse Radio. iUniverse Radio is brought to you by iUniverse, the leading book marketing, editorial services, and supported self-publishing company. iUniverse Radio is produced by TogiNet Radio, on the web at toginet.com.
The title of the book, Ripples in Opperman's Pond, and the author is Doug Zipes, and Doug joins us now on iUniverse Radio. Hello, Doug.
Hello. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Great to have you with us. Well, this is a thriller. It's a high-stakes thriller set in the world of big-money medicine, where a chain of unanticipated events culminates in a life-or-death decision twin brothers never thought they would have to make. This sounds like right out of, could be right out of your past. You're a celebrated cardiologist, world-renowned. You know the ins and outs of the pharmacy world.
Well, you're right. And a lot of the events that take place in this book are based loosely on events that happened to me, in which I participated, and obviously fictionalized them, but nevertheless, there's sufficient reality in what I've written that I think it holds the reader's interest.
Well, we all know that the pharmaceutical business, the drug business, is billions upon hundreds of billions of dollars are at stake.
Absolutely right.
So it's unfortunate that there are those out there that would use it for their own advantage, but we all know that happens in every walk of life, it seems. So give us a little bit more background about yourself, Doctor, and tell us why you wrote the book.
Well, I'm a cardiologist and have been so for well over 40 years. I've published 800-plus medical articles and 14 or 15 textbooks with multiple revisions. And I wanted, at this stage of my life, to try a new venue and have always been fascinated by the written word. And many years ago, read a medical best-selling thriller, and I said to myself, I can do that and do it even better. It turns out it's a bit more difficult than it seems, and I had to learn a whole new way of writing. But nevertheless, that was a goal over the past multiple years and culminated in my first novel, which is called The Black Widows, and then this one, Ripples in Opperman's Pond. The story is loosely based on two trials in which I participated. One was the sudden death of an athlete, and the widow sues the doctor who took care of the athlete, and I defended the physician and proved that it was not malpractice. And the second was where I was a plaintiff's expert against a pharmaceutical company that was alleged to have failed to publicly declare side effects of a drug.
Tell us about the twins. Tell us about Dorian and Daniel.
Yeah, I had fun with twins, with the idea of nature versus nurture. So nature being genes that you inherit, and nurture being the environmental modulating influences on those genes. And my phrase is that nature loads the gun, but the environment pulls the trigger. So we have identical twins, Dorian and Daniel, who obviously have identical genetic makeup, but turn out very differently in terms of their character and personalities. In addition, I wanted an opening memorable sentence. I think everybody knows, call me Ishmael from Melville's Moby Dick,
mm-hmm.
or it was the best of times, it was the worst of times,
mm-hmm.
From the Tale of Two Cities. So my opening sentence is, we were identical, Dorian and I, but not at all alike. Mm. And I hope that that will be a memorable first sentence, but who knows how people will view it.
So Dorian rescues his twin brother Daniel, and that's that gives them such a bond beyond being obviously identical twins.
Right. They start out in an ice skating episode on Opperman's Pond, which is a real pond, upon which I ice skated as a youngster in Pleasantville, New York. And they flip a coin to see who will test the early winter ice. And Daniel is the one who does it, falls through the ice, and Dorian saves his life. And that kind of sets the stage of the interactions between the two brothers who share their toothpaste growing up and their lives from when they are youngsters to adults.
Dorian becomes the head of a multinational pharmaceutical company, and Daniel, a renowned cardiologist.
Exactly. And they come together when an NBA superstar, I've made him here in Indianapolis as a member of the Pacers, sprains his ankle quite badly and does not respond to existing treatments. And a brilliant but ruthless scientist in Dorian's pharmaceutical company has invented a new anti-arthritis, anti-inflammatory drug that Daniel is able to get from his brother's pharmaceutical company and use to heal the athlete's sprained ankle, restores him back to playing basketball, and the brothers then unite, coming from different professional positions, Dorian as CEO of the pharmaceutical company, Daniel as a practicing physician, to take care of this NBA player.
And then, of course, he dies unexpectedly.
Exactly. He has sudden death, and then the entire dominoes begin to tumble and inextricably involve brothers in a whole series of events.
In real life, can arthritis drugs cause heart attacks?
Yes, as a matter of fact. One of the drugs that was a superb arthritis drug is called Vioxx. And that was removed from the market after it was demonstrated to cause heart attacks and possibly strokes as well. And now all of the arthritis drugs like Celebrex and so on have what's called a black box warning. That means that the warning part of the drug label indicates that they may cause heart attacks and strokes. So, yeah, that's a real potential.
Now, we have not only, of course, the malpractice suit and the possible loss of a medical license here, but we've got witchcraft.
We do, and that was so fun to write. And it was in part based on my medical school experiences many, many years ago when I had a physiology term paper, and I chose to write on witchcraft and the actual medical basis for casting spells. And indeed, if one goes back to some of the origins of the creation of zombies, for example, in Haitian culture, there is a chemical basis for how that can be done. So I have some of that in the novel. One of my goals in writing is verisimilitude. I like to be as truthful and accurate as possible. Space aliens and these kinds of things don't appeal to me. So when I write science fiction, it has a greater emphasis on the science than the fiction. And you come away believing the events because they're just a fraction off the truth. And that's what's so fun about doing this, and particularly writing about the witchcraft here.
Well, you stay in real life. We all know about ruthless competition in industry, you know, sports, big business. We all know that. And we also know about the U.S. jury system that has its faults, especially, as you point out, in the malpractice arena.
That's exactly right. And particularly in today of DNA fact-finding, we see that a number of people who are convicted inappropriately. They indeed were innocent based on the DNA analysis. Having interacted with the jury system on multiple occasions in my role as expert testifier, I capitalized on that, and there are two court scenes that parallel a lot of my personal experiences. There's a lawyer in the court scenes who is a ruthless individual, and he really is patterned after one of them I've faced. So the two court scenes, I think, have a lot of reality basis for them as well.
Why do you use men's names for women?
Yeah, that's so fun. I am an embryonic fiction author. In cardiology circles, pretty much wherever you go, my name is going to be known, at least to some of the cardiologists. But in the fiction area, they say, who's he? So it's been fun to try to create some sort of an identity in my novels. And two things that I've done. One, just for the fun of it, to use what could be misunderstood as a man's name for a woman. So in my first novel, The Black Widows, I have Francine, and she's called Frankie. And in this one, it's Jesse, but it's not J-E-S-S-E, it's J-E-S-S-I-E. The other thing that I've done in both novels is that a bad guy is from an opera where the bad guy's name in the opera is used in my novel. I'm an opera fan, and it's been fun to do that as well. So, you know, you have little quirks that are just kind of who you are as a novelist.
And a theme that runs through your book, you really believe there's some good in most people.
And that's true. I think that that comes out in both of the books. I think it's very important when one creates a character to make the character multidimensional. I think very few people are all bad, and I think very few people are all good. But there is good in everyone, and sometimes you have to plumb the depths to find it, but it's there, and I think it comes out in the characters in Ripples as well.
We've been talking about Ripples in Opperman's Pond, the author, Doug Zipes. Doug, tell us how to get your book.
Well, there are several ways. One is iUniverse is the publisher, and they're in Bloomington. Another is Amazon, And it's available there in print or electronically. The easy thing to do is my website, which is DougZipes.com, and the books are prominently displayed there with click away as to how you can order it.
DougZipes.com, Z-I-P-E-S. Well, thank you, Doug, for being with us on iUniverse Radio.
My pleasure, Steve. Thanks for talking with me.